We've practiced selfishness and called and made excuses for it and said we're just taking care of number one. We have done things, Lord, that have hurt the very people we say we love. We found ourselves justifying it, and we found ourselves not dealing with it honestly before your throne. Today, Lord, help us to look at worry as the sin it is. Help us, Lord, to look at that pride and arrogance and selfishness, that attitude of I'm better than you, or ruling over some other group of people, or thinking ourselves better than our own family or individuals, husbands over wives or wives over husbands. We have done things, Lord, that are absolutely foolish when we stand before the wisdom, the truth, and the light of your throne. They look absolutely selfish, as they really should. And so as we stand here today, let the light of your truth penetrate our hearts so that anything that needs to be dealt with, Lord, is honestly brought forward and laid before your throne. Uproot hypocrisy in our hearts, Lord. Uproot the inconsistencies. Uproot the ability to say, I'm sorry in 1 minute and walk out of church the next and go right back into the same attitude and heart and feelings that we just repented of. Lord, you have brought us to this point. You have given us a spirit of integrity and truth. You have given us an ability to deal honestly with our sins. By the power of your Holy Spirit, work that in our hearts until our mouths speak and our lives show the truth about what you have brought to us and have given in us and want to present through us to the world. Let your love shine in us today, Lord. We pray this in your name, and God's people say, amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. First scripture lesson or verses from the book of Isaiah, Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 55. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 5. Isaiah 55, 1 through 5. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. If I can, I want to stop right now. I want to share something. I'll finish the reading in a minute. But this whole idea here of come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. We were down at the beach on Thursday. Somebody came by and handed him a bottle of water. He said, oh, thank you. How much do I owe you? He pulled his wallet out. How much do I owe you? So nothing, the water's free. It was from the church, and we're letting people know we're here, and the water's free. He goes, oh, okay, well, can I make a contribution? And I started to laugh. I said, no, you really can't. And it's interesting how we think that we've got to pay for something. And this scripture verse, come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. The truth of the matter, there is nothing free about the water we gave out. Somebody paid for it, right? You know, it didn't come to the church free. Sandy went to a store, picked it up, bought it, and paid for it. But to this person, that water was without money and without cost. But yet they wanted to pay for it. Somebody else came up to Sandy and said, they saw the shirts, what are you guys selling? What are you selling down here? Well, we're not selling anything. We're giving away water. But the water really wasn't free. And what we're really giving away is the message of our salvation through Christ. And it's really not free, is it? There's an incredible price paid at the cross. Cost Jesus' blood, his very life. There's nothing free about our salvation. Yet we are being called to come and buy without milk and or without money, without cost, to receive this, without money, without cost. And sometimes we want to say, Lord, what can we give you? Lord, what can we do? And there's nothing, Jeff, that you can give. Well, Lord, what can I contribute? Jeff, you really can't. Verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that you do not know will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. The second reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8. And we're going to be reading from verse 31 through 35. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? This ends the reading.
Come on down. Anybody know what this is? A bumper shoot.
No, it's not.
Oh, that's what they call it over in England. Isn't that a silly word? You know what I like about this one? Watch. Well, it used to work. Been folded up too long. What do they use these dumb things for?
Rain.
So they don't get wet. If I put the umbrella over here, what happens to me? If I put it here, I stay. Doesn't that sound pretty easy? You'd think everybody would be able to figure this out, right? If I have an umbrella, but I keep it closed, what happens to me now? I have to do what with it? I have to open it the old-fashioned way. Yes, now, that seems pretty silly that some people have umbrellas and they don't use them. Wouldn't you say that's pretty funny? There's this movie called Singing in the Rain where the guy has an umbrella and he gives it away. And guess what? He gets soaking wet. And it's kind of a nice movie and it's kind of fun. But in our life, I want to teach you something about umbrellas, okay? So I've got that one. And I have another one. I poked its way right through here, here, and there. And that one didn't pop either. Now, this is the umbrella I always keep in my car to keep me dry. Does he think it works very good?
No.
What's wrong with it?
It's
Oh, there are holes. Well, maybe I'll kind of cover them so you can't see them as much. Would that be silly? It's an umbrella that's no good, right? Well, I'm going to talk about umbrellas today in the sermon. And I'm going to talk about our kids going away to school. Good. Yes. Yes.
I'm going to go to school too.
Well, you're sure a lot more excited about it than... Could you just kind of rub that excitement off on a few of us teachers? No, I know. Well, I'm going to talk about whether you got an umbrella like this one or an umbrella like this one. Because if I go off into the world and it starts raining on me and my umbrella looks like this, I'm going to get, and my umbrella is doing me absolutely no good. What do you think I should actually do with this umbrella?
Throw it away.
Yeah, and this is the one I should keep because it works right most of the time, right? Like that, yes. Well, we're going to learn something about our lives. And some of us have lives that are intact, and we have learned the way we have to live and the way we have to be obedient to Jesus. Some of us have lives that look a little bit more like that. They're broken. Now, if when you go to school or to different places as you get older, your life is together, then you're going to have the protection that God wants you to have. If your life is not where it's supposed to be, it's going to look like that. Every once in a while, we hear kids and they get really rebellious and they don't want to listen to their moms and dads. Or they get a little older and say, I can't wait to get out of the house. Or even grown-ups where they just go, I don't want to listen to what God wants me to do. That's right. And that's the other thing. Yes. Yes. So what I'm going to talk about is whether you're ready like this, not that one, this one, ready and ready to go or not. And I want you to listen to it in the sermon today because I'm going to be talking to the bigger kids too about whether your umbrella is in place. Now, if you were my son or daughter, where would you have to stand if you wanted to get the benefit of the umbrella and not get wet? Where would you stand? Show me. Show me. There we go. See, now when she stays close, the umbrella protects me, but it also protects her. That's a big, important lesson, too. All right? We're going to see if we can talk about that in the sermon, okay? Good. I got a treat for you. It's just one. So I got... I hope this is okay. It's open on one end here somewhere. Wait. I'm kidding. I know. This stuff is so...
Why not open it?
It is open. It's just not open the right way. There you go. There we go. I'm sorry, they're coming out very hard. There we go, hon. There you go. And there's one in there. There it comes. Here you go, hon. Come after church. You can have some more. There are two fellow teachers sitting in here with me today. And they have done a lot to set my heart in a very heavy way toward what's coming to me through the junior class this year. They have said things like, Pastor Hammond, whatever. I can't wait till you get last year's sophomores. They were terrible. I can't wait to see what you do with them or they do to you. Ha, 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 ha. And they have done that all last year when they had these sophomores. And unfortunately, they weren't the only ones who were setting me up for that kind of emotion and that kind of feeling. And of course, it's half serious, half funny. They're both excellent teachers and they love their kids. But there are classes of kids or groups of kids that do put additional kind of stress and strain on you. And I thought about that as I picked today's text, and I just want to share and give testimony to this. While what they said is given mostly in jest, it's also true, and I've heard it from other teachers besides them, that this is, get ready, this is the class from hell kind of a thing. And so that began to weigh on me. I'm going, wow, I'm getting the class from hell. Now, after you've been teaching for 41 years, I'm not sure what that means, but apparently the other 41 weren't. But however it works out, I began to notice I was being weighed down by that. I really was. It wasn't something I just pushed aside because I knew the quality of teachers they were, and I knew the quality of teachers that were also sharing that same kind of intensity and warning as they were talking about it. And I began to go, oh, Lord, what are you doing to me? Why do you want me to stay? Is it a good time to retire? Quit school, pack it up, head for the hills kind of a thing. And all of those emotions became more and more and more real. And finally, I began to say, well, this is silly. And I began to take it to the Lord. And the Lord immediately rebuked me. And immediately he said, shut up. Pray for him. Every time you think about him, every time you're concerned about him, every time you hear something about him, start praying for him. And what's happened, particularly in the last 4, 5, 6 weeks, as school starts this next week, there's been an attitude shift. There's been a heart change. There's been a sensitivity that I'm going, Lord, I don't know all that you're going to do, but I do know that you love these people, these kids, these individuals, and you want to make a difference. And so what I found is this ability, not in of myself, obviously, but to turn something that was very negative in the sense that it's weighing on you. And as I have other teachers that are around sometimes, or those of you who have taught or are still teaching, you begin to understand those things are very heavy on you. And every once in a while, you get a class through that just really wants to put your back against the wall. And so the thing that I've been challenged by is not the kids, but why aren't you praying more? Why aren't you interceding for these kids? Why don't you understand that there's something I have for you to do in their lives and that I want you to accomplish for them? And so in that context, I began to understand that as we approach life and circumstances, our lives can approach it in many different ways. In other words, this would have been what my umbrella looked like when I thought about the class coming in. All right? I had all kinds of holes in it, all kinds of inconsistencies, all kinds of lack of love, lack of concern, worry about how I'm going to feel, what it's going to do to me, and focus on self. And each one of those produced some kind of hole or break or tear in the protection God has given me when he says, what? Trust fully in me. Lean upon me. Believe that in all things I can begin to work. Praise me in every situation, even if you don't understand why. And so what's begun to happen is the difference between this kind of feeling and the feelings that come from the protection that God wants to give my heart, my attitude, and my spirit. Well, I thought about that, and that's maybe the teacher side of the issue, and I began to think about our kids going off to college. Not so much our kids in high school and grade school, because there's still a lot of love and concern. I call it the umbrella of mom and dad. In other words, when you're around, if you've got a brain in your head, you understand God has given you your mother or your father or both for your guardianship and protection. You're born a little weirdo. And if you stay that way all your life, you get to be like me. But you have to understand you're born a sinner. And God has given you your parents to be an umbrella for you. He has given them to you to protect you. And the one they protect you most from is yourself. That's the hardest thing for a child to learn. You are your own worst enemy. You are the one that will trash your life. You are the one that will ruin it in college. You are the one who will make the wrong choices. You are the one who will enter into this plan of going into drugs or immorality or anything else like that. You are the one so stupid that you shout out, I'm going to turn 18 and I'm leaving. And I go, what you don't understand is that the umbrella that God has given your mother or father, that God has given those people in your life is to protect you from your own sinful nature. You already know that you're capable of pretending you've got this kind of life, and in reality, this is you. All right? I will pretend in church I look like that. I got my values in line. I certainly would never get caught in drinking drugs or immorality. I certainly would never surrender myself to the wrong things. You present yourself like a complete umbrella, but anybody with even a little bit of discernment knows this is what your life looks like. And what they're hearing is one of the holes in your life, which is that open rebellion and stupidity that we're all capable of. I'd like to pretend we outgrow this, but the truth is we don't. The truth is we are meant to have iron sharpen iron. We are meant to hold brothers and sisters accountable. We are meant to expose, Bruce, you got a hole in this part of your life. You need to deal with that particular thing. And so when you begin to understand, this is not something obviously just kids have to understand. You have to recognize even as adults, as mothers and fathers, some of your umbrellas look more like this than like that. And if you remember, I've drawn a few pictures for you at some point or another where I said, you're all smart enough to figure out if it was just rain, you'd get wet. But in real life, it's the barbs of Satan and the lies and deceptions of some guy or girl who's going to whisper some lie or deception to you, and you'll walk away going, how did I ever get hooked on these opiates or some of the other stupid things that people are getting caught in? People who at a certain age appeared relatively normal, who seemed to have their lives together, but in reality, their lives were shredded, and there were these openings all over in their heart or life where Satan was going to choose to attack and destroy them. And he walks in with no hesitation, the same way rain would fall through the holes in an umbrella and hit or fall on me to accomplish whatever purpose it was sent. And like I said, if it was just water, it wouldn't matter. But it is not. It is the barbs of temptation. It's deceptions of our own flesh. It is the lies of the world. It is the lies that people are going to whisper and shout at you when you think your life is like this, and really it's no longer like this. Instead, it has been surrendered and compromised already, and people know, and so do you. And so one of the first challenges this morning is, do you have enough courage to be honest with the umbrella of your own life? To recognize, I have these openings, if I begin to be exposed to certain things, I can find myself getting caught in them unnecessarily. And you begin to understand that's the nature of the enemy, to convince you you don't have to repair the umbrella. So I could start my year of teaching with that kind of umbrella and be all set to be wired, I guess you would say, to let these kids have it with both barrels to really assert yourself. And God said, I didn't ask you to do that. I asked you to love them. Oh, God, not love them. He goes, yes. All right? You have to understand there is this challenge about real life where God simply says, love your wife. Oh, you don't know what she's like, Lord. I do too. I gave her to you to love. Okay. And the same thing works with the husband or the children, whatever the case might be. And so I began to look at this text in Romans, and I want you to just run through it with me. We start at verse 31. It's a beautiful section. We've used it in many cases before, but I want you to hear it in the context. My son, my daughter, is going away to college. I wonder what their umbrella really looks like. My daughter's going into sixth grade, seventh grade. I've got a tough group of girls or guys, and they mock on her. I wonder what her umbrella looks like. How torn has it been? You see, the tears come from a couple of different things. Some, they come from compromise inside of me. And sometimes they come from the rips and tears of the enemies out there, the people that don't like me, don't love me, and I don't deal with the rip or the tear, and it sits there. And I have to understand that I am an umbrella to my child. A man is an umbrella to his wife. The father and mother are umbrellas for their children. And those children, here's the best part, are umbrellas for their friends and acquaintances in college or high school or wherever it happens to be. Inevitably, you're going to be challenged by the fact that other kids are going to be in college walking in directions that have an immense amount of worldly appeal, but unbelievable deception in terms of satanic appeal. And you're going to recognize them. And if your umbrella is intact, you're going to find out that you are ridiculed for coming with an umbrella intact by the world, but God goes, well done, good and faithful servant. And so the question goes, whose ears will you be listening to as you make the decisions to be parents, or as you make the decision to be a wife or a husband that has said, I will love this person no matter what. This is a vow, this is a commitment, and I will do it with sincerity and truth. And you put that together and you begin to understand, how would you like to know the teacher of your son or daughter in junior religion is terrified, angry, and ready to let them have it with both barrels if they smart off so much as an inch? Just makes you really happy parent, right? How would you prefer to hear, I really want to learn how to love your kid. I want to make a difference in him. I've been praying for him for 8 weeks already. You understand the difference? One's filled with the Holy Spirit, one's filled with flesh and deception and the lies of Satan. The same thing happens in our marriages, in our relationships, anywhere. And as you parents go, here's what I want you to understand. This is the part I want you to hang out with this. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Pray for me. My granddaughter, 18 years old and beautiful, is alone in Europe. My heart has been praying for her immensely. I would never send my child to be alone anywhere at 18. Why? Because I've been there. I've seen what it's like. It's wonderful and it's real. It's both and. It's like walking through Milwaukee. It's like living here. You got some places you can walk, some places you'd be stupid to walk. But here's the point. It says this, what shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son but gave himself up for us, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those who God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also, and this is the part I want you to notice, interceding for a weak-kneed Bruce Harmon, for a shallow-minded teacher, for a guy who can't figure it out, who's living in kind of fear for his niece, who is anticipating a tough class and already building his defenses, who is not behaving correctly. My God is interceding for me. My Savior knows what I need. That brings an immense amount of comfort and grace and peace into my life rather than anything else. Who will separate me from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? Sophomores into juniors. Oh, it's in the fine print in my Bible. You understand? It's the challenge of real life. It's the challenge of what keeps that umbrella intact. It remains intact when I go, I can't guard my granddaughter ever. But I can bring her up before the Lord. I can love her and give her whatever wisdom God puts in my heart, but I can't necessarily change the direction that she wants to go. The same thing when I deal with a sophomore, now a junior, in my class, they may or may not be ready to listen. God has not offered me the option of not loving, respecting, nurturing, protecting, or guarding that child. God has asked, I want you to keep your umbrella intact so when the attacks come and the rain or the barbs from mouths or attitudes or behavior come, you're intact so they don't impact on you that way. Instead, they run down the side and you say, thank you, Jesus. Guard me from that particular thing that student did or that situation caused or whatever else the thing might be. And so you begin to understand what God is doing here is he's giving you assurance as parents. He's giving you an understanding. Parents, keep your umbrella together. Wherever there's a hole in your umbrella, it's affecting your kid. All right? You got a hole called pornography. You got a hole called bitterness. You got a hole called unforgiveness. You got a hole in your life, whatever it is, trying to justify immorality or sin or whatever it is. It becomes that hole in your umbrella. And at that point, your ability to guard your children begins to be broken down. Husbands, if you've got a broken down umbrella, you're not guarding your wives appropriately. And wives, you share that protection and love and nurturing in all directions. And so you have to understand. That's the first place. The second place is you begin to make sure your children understand what shape is your umbrella in. I should be able to walk up to every one of the kids and say, if Satan were to attack you, in what area of your life would he attack you? Pride? Selfishness? Thinking you're so much smarter, better, prettier, handsomer than the other people around you? What area of your life would Satan attack you? Pornography? Immorality? Flirtatiousness? Bad choices? Because those are tears and rips in the umbrella of your protective cover over you, over your children, and in my case, over my grandchildren. Wherever there's that tear, wherever there's that excuse, right? Well, that's the way Grandpa is. And the Holy Spirit goes, oh, it's you, Lord. Is that what I said you could do, Bruce? No, sir. And stop. You understand? The Holy Spirit's asking you to bring every word under control. The Holy Spirit's asking you to bring every thought under control. Holy Spirit's asking you to operate at a level where you are so anointed, covered by the grace and the mercy of God, filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that you're operating as God would have you operate. Even in the busyness, challenge, discipline, competition of life and raising a family and all the other things that you deal with. How does a grandpa talk to a granddaughter or a daughter and a son-in-law about their, you know, his feelings? How does he do it the right way? It isn't just pointing out, be careful. It isn't, you know, it's learning to tone, learning to speak it, learning to share it, learning to live it. The same way your son or daughter, as you guys go off anywhere, you're not going to make it if your umbrella looks like that. You're designed to fail. You have no protection over you. The first looking good-looking girl or guy, the first moment of an invitation to get drunk, the first opportunity to do whatever it is, wherever the hole is in your umbrella, you won't have any resistance to it at all, and you will find yourself walking down a path. How many kids do they say leave high school and find themselves nearly trashed in the first 3 to 6 months of college? Because their umbrella actually looked like that. Or do you really think if you can go back to high school or survive in the world with your umbrella looking like that, when God whispers to you and says, you're not fighting your parents, you're fighting me. I'm the one that said honor your father and mother. I'm the one that said it will go well with you and you will live long on the earth. You're fighting me. You're disrespecting the very umbrella I have put in your life over you. You are the one that's going to pay an unbelievable price to be operating with that kind of disrespect. You can't choose to simply justify the fact you don't love your wife or your husband the way you should. You can't simply justify the fact that you're, whatever the case might be, whatever sin we make excuses for. And so instead, what God's challenging you with is this. Please understand this concept. If God is for me, who can be against? What are you doing, Lord? I'm bringing your heart, Bruce, in line with my will, because that way at least one person in the classroom will be listening. And you have a certain opportunity as a teacher to make things better or worse. And I want your ears open. I want your umbrella in place. I want the tears repaired. And I want you to function the way I want you to function. And so if that's that particular area in school or in teaching or in your area of life where you work or you interact with your family, your wife, your husband, whatever my case it might be, that's the challenge God's inviting you to do. Why? Because if God is for us, who can be against us? And if God, knowing what it's like to raise a child like me, to have all the goods and bads that I exist in my life, if God is interceding for me, can't I do that much for my child, my grandchild, my kids at school, fellow teachers, whatever the case might be? And so the challenge in my life and in your life is that these words were not written to make you just feel good. They were written because they're true. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Yeah, but I'm such a jerk. You sure are. But you're family. And I shed my blood for you. And I want you back home. And so in the middle of all the tensions we all feel, because I still got to discipline kids. I still got to grade and assign homework. I still got to do all the things that try and hopefully help a kid learn. And some of them are sweet and nice, and many of them are just the old work of learning and challenge of school and everything else. But in the middle of that, if I walk in, whether I'm the teacher or the student or going to college or going into high school or entering grade school, if I keep that umbrella repaired and intact before God and I stay in the place where God has called me, even the little kids could figure it out instantly. Where would you stand if you wanted protection from my umbrella? Right next to you. Right? My umbrella frequently looks like the one on there with the holes in. But God says, where are you going to stand? I'm going to get closer to you, Lord. Well, why would you do that? Because when my umbrella has holes, I can trust in your umbrella. And so you begin to recognize this. For your sake, we face death all day long. We're considered to be sheep to be slaughtered. Now, no. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I've already won the year. I've won the year. The kids can walk in. I've won. Because I've already beaten my flesh. I now can become a servant of the Spirit in relation to my kids. And you see, what God is trying to help me understand is that in all things I am more than a conqueror. You think sometimes when God places a heavy weight on you, forgive, let go, love this person, nurture this person, some level of obey your parents, and you go, my mother, you don't understand, my father, you don't understand. God says, I do, and I still have not said, don't stop obeying them. Well, why do you want to do this to me? So that you learn, like Pastor, to be humble, to understand the problem isn't the kids, the problem is how I approach kids with my umbrella intact or out of tact. The problem isn't the kid, the problem is whether I'm close to the Lord or far away from the Lord. The problem exists here, and what God gives me as I deal with it, whatever the circumstances are presented out there, he will empower me to make the decisions I have to make. Why? Because through him, I am more than a conqueror, for I am convinced, and this is Paul finally speaking this out, this is what you and I have to finally say, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you, me, us, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. God's umbrella always is intact. If you're being attacked, it's because you're not under it. Child can figure that out. Where would you stand if you wanted my protection of my umbrella? Next to you. You're smart enough to understand I represented the Lord at that moment. They might be too. You stay in the right spot, you get the protection of the mercy of God and the will of God and the Lord God. That's where God wants us to stay. Why? Because I have won and I want you more than a conqueror, even of, and you fill in the fear. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace today, thank you. For the gift of my juniors, thank you. For the opportunity to grow up some more, thank you. For forgiveness that's fresh and new to me each day. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, a blessing on your people today. Help us to understand this is your invitation to come to your altar, to lay down fears and worries and concerns, to understand that in you we are more than conquerors. In you we can be protected and guarded from the foolishness of the tares in our own umbrella until they're repaired and restored to where they need to be. And Lord, I pray a grace over all of us today, that we would intercede for brothers and sisters, husbands, wives, children, kids in school, kids heading off to college, that they would have such an anointing on them that they would know and understand the quality of the umbrella in their life, and that you would bless each and every one of them. I pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen. As the offering is